That's what she said.
What's up and welcome in to Locked On Bulls. I'm Matt. That's Big Dave. Up ahead on today's program, we're taking your texts and emails for another mailbag episode. Among the topics, we've got a Bulls fan wondering if Zach's drop in usage could prevent him from reaching all-star status for the second consecutive season. We've also got somebody wondering if Zach LaVine could enter the MVP conversation if things go well for the Bulls this season. All those topics and more on a mailbag Locked On Bulls. Let's go.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt, that's Big Dave. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow Big Dave at Bow, B-A-W-L Sports. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And that text and voicemail line is always there for you, Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. We're diving into some texts and some emails today with a couple of interesting Zach LaVine questions among them. To kick things off, Big Dave, how are you, my friend? I see you're rocking the Walter Payton, but before we hopped on and pressed record, you were telling me about a big decision you've made for this upcoming Pair Sunday.
Thanks, Matt. Huge decision. I'm doing wonderful, by the way. Hope everybody out there is. Made a huge decision, guys, after probably, I guess, about 15 years of never wearing another Bears person's jersey other than this beautiful Walter Payton jersey. Mitchell and Ness throwback that I love so much. I have decided on Sunday to wear my Justin Fields jersey that my brother bought me. I'm terrified to do it. I made that decision, and I said if Justin Fields is going to be out here breaking generational curses, then I should be willing to do the same. So I'm terrified. I'm terrified to put this jersey on. I am. Because the last time I did it, I watched Rex Grossman get hurt in the preseason and not come out for the rest of the year, and then that's when I made my decision. But those quarterbacks are not on the level of Justin Fields. And I got to be down, Matt. I got to be down with breaking curses. So I'm going to do it, man. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to put it on. We'll see what happens.
I love your bravery. I love your courage. Thank you. I mean, we have to do something to break that cycle of having no Bears jersey that you feel comfortable wearing every Sunday other than the throwbacks. Yeah. It's like you can only wear Peyton and Butkus jersey so many times before you lose faith in the present.
And Gale Sayers, like, it can't hurt you. It can't hurt you, man.
It can't hurt me anymore. We've got a lot of fun stuff to get to today. Let's dive into our mailbox. This first question, Big Dave, is from a Bulls fan who's wondering if there is one particular piece in all of the offseason moves that maybe the Bulls will end up missing. So this is Brett from the 217 who says, "Hello, hey, Brett. Guys, love the show. Been digging into the old episodes from the Vucevic trade. Anyway, I have a question regarding Thad Young. Obviously, he was great for us when he wasn't logging extra effort on the floor. I also understand it was a business decision, and I love the team, the new team now. However, do you think that we will see a difference with him not being in the Bulls rotation, or should this team be able to fill in the role he left with our new talents? Is it actually a necessary move considering our final roster? Thanks, guys. Go Bulls. I'm going to my first Bulls game in a couple months, and I am super pumped." Nice. Thanks for checking in, Brett. So, okay, Big Dave, lots happened this offseason. As we sit now looking at the roster, we made a couple of moves. You know, Alize Johnson was, I think, a solid low-key last-second signing to maybe bolster that power forward depth a little bit. We've got Tony Bradley backing up Vooch, but I still think if there's one big question on this roster, it is interior defense. Cool. Thad Young certainly provided a lot of that, and a guy who, you know, not the biggest dude, but Thad, with his wily veteran, you know, experience in the NBA, knew how to guard bigger guys and protect the rim pretty well, and just play smart defense. But to answer his question of was it necessary to give up Thad Young, well, the Spurs wanted Thad Young to get DeMar DeRozan. So are you happy that we have DeMar DeRozan? Because if you're happy we have DeMar DeRozan, then you need to make your peace with the fact that Thad Young is gone.
Yeah. And let me get to this, because first of all, Thad Young was awesome here, okay? We know what he provided, and we know what he did for this team.
Truly.
On both ends of the floor. As far as scoring, as far as rebounding, as far as leadership. Like, he was an important piece. And keep in mind, they did not want to trade him and trade that man. It was somebody else they were trying to give up. They were trying to give up Lowry in that trade.
Right.
But since they couldn't get that contract worked out like they wanted to, that they said, well, we couldn't make that trade. But this is why I love AK and Eversley, because I said it at the time, it wasn't a deal breaker because they couldn't give up Lowry. They said, well, we'll go get someone else. And that person happened to be Thad Young. So they understood the importance of Thad Young. The Bulls did, because they wanted to keep him. And also, he's Zach's best friend. So they wanted to keep him because you want to keep your star happy and you know what he provides. It'll take a hit, I think, as far as, you know, basketball IQ, as far as defense, as far as that veteran leadership. But honestly, those are things that you can replace. Those are things that you can work on and gain. You can replace his points, you can replace his rebounds, you can replace his assists. I'm talking more so, you know, of the intangibles. Those are the things that are going to be hard to replace, that only comes with time. And we'll see who's going to be that guy that kind of steps into that role. But yeah, he made the rotation easier if he was here, as far as who was going to come in for Patrick Williams, you know, or if anything happened, it was going to be Thad. Like, when we ran a small ball lineup, Thad was going to be the center. Like, it was going to be him. So it changed that. But at the same time, it doesn't truly stop the progression or the progress that this team is expected to make, or I expect them to make this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I think it's easy to make your peace with it. And you're right. I think AK and Eversley didn't want to trade Thad. I think they wanted to keep Thad because they knew how valuable he was. But if that's what's separating you from getting DeMar DeRozan, then, like you said, you make your peace with that. Look, and you know, because AK and Eversley are proving us, you know, day by day in this offseason of massive change, they didn't get the sign and trade Lowry to the Spurs that they wanted to get DeMar, but they did get themselves a pretty sweet deal for Lowry after sitting on their leverage for weeks. They got a first-round pick to recoup after giving up a pick for DeMar and dealing with Vooch and maybe this penalty that's going to be coming down from the league for tampering. They got a pick and they got a pretty solid young player in his prime like Derrick Jones Jr. They still got something for Lowry to make up for the fact that he wasn't the sign and trade that they wanted to do and had to give up that instead. Yes, I'm still a little bit concerned about this team's interior defense. And by a little concerned, I mean, I'm pretty concerned. I'm pretty concerned about this interior defense. But
fair.
I mean, would you rather keep Thad Young or would you rather have DeMar DeRozan playing next to Zach LaVine?
Yeah, because I mean, that's the question.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And the answer is you get DeMar.
Right. Yeah. Yes. All right. Here's a fun one, Big Dave. This is coming to us from the 773. What's going on, fellas? My name's Mark, big fan of the show and a diehard Bulls fan. Here's a question. With all the athleticism on this Bulls roster, who do you think will catch the first body with a poster dunk this season? I think it'll be DeMar DeRozan. What are your thoughts? This is a really fun question, Big Dave. Who's going to get the first poster dunk this year?
Yo, you see the joy on my face? Because I'm sitting here thinking like, wow, we do got that kind of athletes on our team, don't we? Like we really do have that. Wow. Who will catch the first body? DeMar is the safe choice, okay? Because DeMar catches bodies. That's what he does. He dunks on people, all right? That's how he rolls. Zach doesn't catch as many bodies because nobody wants to jump with Zach. Nobody wants to be on that poster and catch that. I'm going to say Derrick Jones Jr., though. I'm going to say he catches the body because I think if he comes in, when he comes in the game, it'll most likely be with the second unit. And in the second unit, there are more guys out there who have to prove something. So I think people will be more, you know what I'm saying, more willing to jump up and try to block a shot against Derrick Jones Jr. with the other team's second unit. So I can see him on a oop from Lonzo just getting it from somebody, or, you know, just him making that one move, one dribble, going up and in somebody's face. I can see him being that, but DeMar is the safe bet. Like, if you put money on something, you should put it on DeMar, but I'm gonna go with the long shot. I'm gonna take Derrick Jones Jr.
I like that. I like that answer. I am gonna roll with Caruso.
I mean, maybe
a little bit of a dark horse.
Yes,
but we have seen Caruso's ability to get up and dunk on people over people with that amazing disguise of a balding, not the tallest guy on the floor, white guy. You look at him and you're like, that guy can't dunk. That guy can't dunk any better than a 37-year-old Dwayne Wade in a Bulls jersey who gets rejected by the rim when he tries to dunk.
Who did it, but, and then held the hand up when he did it. But go ahead.
I think that has to be my answer, because I am fully embracing the Caruso is going to be the new heart of the fan player out there, who Lakers fans fell in love with. I think Bulls fans are going to fall in love with Caruso for his defense and for his play. And also, you can even just tell from, like, the video that the White Sox posted of him and some of his teammates throwing out the first pitch last week. Caruso seems like a fun dude, a guy who is going to be very easy to root for, a very likable guy. And we've seen him. We've seen him dunk on people. So that's my dark horse answer. If I were putting money on which Bull is going to get the first poster of the season, I'd take the slightly longer shot odds of it being Alex Caruso, because when it happens the first time, Bulls fans are going to go nuts and it's going to be really fun.
Dude, they're going to lose their ever-loving minds when Caruso goes up and dunks on someone. That is a great pick. And also, don't sleep on guys like Kobe White either. Like, Kobe White can sneak up there and dunk on somebody as well. Wow, that's so crazy. That made me excited, because I'm like, yeah, we do got those kind of athletes on our team that can go out there and really dunk on somebody. We got them. They're on the team. We have multiple ones who can do this. This is awesome. What a great question. Thank you. That just brought joy all through my face. That's good.
Although, let me say, if the Bulls go into mid-November with no posters by the time Kobe hopefully gets back, then they did it wrong. If Kobe is the first poster of the season, that's a long time to wait for the first poster of the season.
We want our posters and we want them now. That's what we want.
Where is my poster machine?
Come on, Steve.
All right. Before we move on to some more topics, some including Zach LaVine and what accolades he might be fighting for this upcoming season, individual accolades, that is. Big Dave, would you like to tell our listeners about the way they can get all of their TV and entertainment together with DirecTV Stream?
Look, man, if you're sitting around on a Saturday on your weekend and all you want to do is just sit back and maybe watch a nice college football game, and then you say to yourself, you know, maybe I just want to watch a TV show or something like that. You know what? I want to watch a highlight. And then you're looking around and you got to pick up 8 remotes. And then you got to look at 2 phones. You got to get a tablet. You got to get all this stuff just to see all the things you want to do on a Saturday, combined with the snacks that you're going to have in front of you. Too much work, y'all. You work too hard. I got the solution for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. And it brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling those remotes and never having to buy another device ever again. And the best part, ladies and gentlemen, no annual contract. Good to go. So get rid of that clutter. Get rid of that confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. Get it together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Sleeper Game Picks. In 2018, fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were being won and lost based on whose players had more scheduled games that week. Made no sense. It required very little strategy. So in 2020, the Sleeper app released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Game Pick, and it's only available on Sleeper. In Game Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, ensuring an even number of games played between opponents. The days of losing because your opponent's players simply had more scheduled games that week than your players, that's over. The days of mindless daily busy work are over. The days of giving up halfway through the season because of that busy work, also over. In game picks, you pick one game per week for each player. You can base those decisions on things like player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive ranking, pace of play. All those stats are in that sleeper app for you. And all that adds up to more strategy and less busy work. Whether you prefer a redraft, a keeper, or a dynasty league, Game Picks has you covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. If you play fantasy football, if you prefer building out a weekly strategy instead of dealing with the daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. Download the Sleeper app today and start a league with your friends. You will not be disappointed. Okay, Big Dave, moving further on in our inbox, we've got a couple of questions about Zach LaVine in here that I think are interesting because they kind of are on either end of the spectrum. Our fan Aussie Andrew has an email for us saying, "Good day, Matt and Dave. Can't wait for the season to finally start. We're going to have a starting five and a solid bench that can compete and win games. With the acquisitions of Vooch and Amar, it seems inevitable that Zach LaVine's stats decline. After such an amazing season statistically, do you think Zach can be an all-star again this season if his numbers drop, but the Bulls win more games?" And that, again, is from Aussie Andrew. Great question there, Big Dave. It seems like he is aware that, look, hopefully usage percentage-wise and thus his stats, Zach's numbers should drop this season. Because he shouldn't have to score 35 to 40 every night for the Bulls to have half a prayer at winning a game.
Correct.
But if he still is an above 20 points per game scorer, if he still maintains or, you know, by cracky, dare I say, even increases his insanely efficient shooting numbers from last season, and the Bulls go from a bottom feeder to a playoff team mid-season, or at least, you know, mid-season they're on pace to be a playoff team, is that still enough for Zach to get his second consecutive All-Star nod, or do you think that those usages dropping will kick him out of the All-Star conversation?
I think it would definitely put him in the All-Star game. And this is why, for the reasons you kind of touched on right there, Matt. He had that incredible season, not because he's just really, really good. Yes, he's really, really good. But because he had to, because he had no choice. If he did not do these things, there are several of those games the Bulls are not winning. Zach LaVine had to do that to get that. And the reason he got to the All-Star game was because of those numbers that he put forth. I guarantee you, Zach LaVine, the numbers he had the previous season were good enough to be in an All-Star game when they played in Chicago. It was good enough to be in an All-Star game, Matt. But the reason they didn't go was because they had no wins. It was really that simple. How many times, Matt, have we seen players? And one player comes to my mind is Jimmy Butler, who doesn't put up, you know, eye-popping numbers. But you put him in the All-Star game. One, because, you know his overall game is good. But two, because your team is winning. Like, when you're the best player on your team and your team is winning, you're automatically looked at as, dude, you have to be in this All-Star game. So I think the wins are going to outweigh that incredible stat line that he is not going to put up this season, but we still going to expect him to, you know, be that 20 plus score, you know, maybe 25, 24 game, you know, get you those rebounds, get you those assists. We expect his steals to go up a little bit, and we expect his usage percentage, like you said, to go down, things like that. But the wins is what it's going to be about, ladies and gentlemen. If he is going to be the best player on a winning team, you get to go to the All-Star game. That's kind of how the rules work. That's kind of how they work.
Yeah.
Especially if you've been there.
Right. And if he's still flirting with, you know, fives in rebounds and assists, and maybe not, maybe that assist number drops a little bit if the, you know, distributing abilities of Lonzo and DeMar in their own respective styles take some of the ball handling away from Zach LaVine's burden, then maybe the assists drop a little bit. But if he's still, like, instead of flirting with 28 points per game, goes down to 23, 22.
Yeah.
But he's still doing that with that same efficiency. And the Bulls are looking playoff bound when all-star voting is happening, then yeah, I think he still absolutely is among the top vote getters for guards in the East. I think it will still be there. Winning is a lot. Winning is a huge part of the pie when it comes to players that have individual accolades, which is why Zach hasn't had many for much of his career. If the Bulls find that balance and are winning a lot and Zach is still their best player and he's still getting at least 20 points per game and he still is flirting with the efficiency, the likes of which offensively hadn't been seen in the NBA other than by players with names like Larry Bird, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. If he's still that efficient offensively, then and the Bulls are winning, yeah, I think another All-Star nod is absolutely within that window of possibility.
And I also say, Matt, just real quick, I want to add this. Visibility is very important also with All-Star games. And he is more visible now than he has ever been in his career because of Team USA and obviously being with Clutch Sports now. So those two things, I'm telling you, are going to play into that as well. So if he puts that up and he does that, I think he'll be in that All-Star game, guys.
Yeah, and also more nationally televised games for the Bulls this year. That might help too. That might help too.
That might help. Yes. Might help. Just a little bit.
There's another element to this Zach LaVine part of our conversation from mailbag from y'all. Before that though, want to tell y'all about Built Bar, the new and delicious protein bars that taste like candy bars. They're not as new as they were when they first joined on as a partner for Locked On Podcast Network. They've been around for a while now, and I've tried all their flavors, and I love pretty much all of them. You got to figure out what your favorite flavors are. You got to try flavors like Cherry Barcia, Raspberry, Mint Brownie, Double Chocolate, German Chocolate, Cookies and Cream. These protein bars that taste like candy bars. You got to try all the flavors and figure out which one is your favorite so you can get a box of that flavor from Built.com. They also have their rotating limited edition flavors. And do you know what the rotating limited edition flavor is this week on BuiltBar.com right now, Big Dave? Because it's cookie dough chunk. Cookie dough. I don't know about you. I'm obsessed with cookie dough anything. Cookie dough ice cream, just eating raw cookie dough. I love cookie dough. And you can get a cookie dough Built Bar at Built.com right now. Not only are these Built Bars delicious, but they are, in fact, healthy for you. Yeah, even the cookie dough one. They're all healthy for you. All of these Built Bars have either 17 or 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. All amazing flavors, all healthy for you. So go to Built.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com.
Guys, it's time. You're back, and it's better than ever. We are going into week 3 of the NFL season. All eyes are on the gridiron as these teams get back into it, and the Bears, who are now 1-1. And Justin Fields is starting! Yeah! So as always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to that website, use your mobile device, sign up today, receive that 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use that promo code now, NFL100. Football, basketball, boxing, you know the big fights coming up in October, y'all. I mean, even those Vegas games you like to play, don't wait. Take advantage, because it's all there on betonline.ag. Bet online, your online sports book experts. Promo code locked up.
Moving on, we've got another Zach LaVine question here in Mailbag, Dave. This one comes to us from the 708, who says, hey guys, one thing I want to touch on is the next leap Zach LaVine will take in his career. He has had a lot on his plate, and all of the new additions will help him immensely. I think the next step for him will be learn how to control the game that will result in wins. Offense is automatic with Zach, but defense and playmaking will elevate him immensely. MVP type season, question mark? Maybe. I'm hyped. Go Bulls. Big Dave.
Well, what Matt is doing right now is trying not to throw cold water on you. That's what's going on with Matt right now. He's trying not to destroy all your hopes and your dreams and your consideration. So allow me to be the person to be here for you, sir, right about now. I appreciate where your head is at. Let me say that. I like where your head is at, man. Zach LaVine, you expect to just be awesome this season. We just talked about him not having lower numbers, but still being an all-star guy. We just talked about that. MVP, though, I don't know. I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one yet. But I like where your head is at. Now, if we're going to have that MVP talk with Zach, that means the Bulls are going to have to finish like top three in the East. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to have to be there for Zach to even be in that conversation. I don't know where you have them finishing. I don't have them finishing in that top three or top four. I have them at six. It's going to be very hard for a team who's going to be at six to have a guy who's an MVP to do that. Like, if you're going to finish there, you have to do things that have never been done before, if you've never really seen in the NBA before, like Michael Jordan when he did it, like Russell Westbrook when he averaged a triple-double, you know, like Steph Curry and what he did last year when he was in consideration for it. We had never seen that, like what Steph Curry had been doing, and he was in the running for it. So if Zach is going to put up that kind of season, I feel you. But it's highly unlikely, but I feel you, because I would love to see it, and I want to see it. And if that happens, that's cool. But I wouldn't put my money on him, even with those improvements that you mentioned, I wouldn't put my money on him being in that MVP conversation. You want to talk about it on the dark horse level, or, you know, he's right on the cusp of it or something like that? Okay, I can hear that for sure. But yeah, man, I just want it to be a great season. I'm sure you do too. And I'm sure you see that great season, which is why you have these wonderful goals and aspirations. And Lord knows I love sunshine and rainbows. So I'm with you on this, man. I'm with you, but I wouldn't put my money on Zach being in that conversation just yet.
So, I mean, all I have to say is this, really. I'm glad that you put the word maybe in that text, or, yeah, you know, maybe there was a little tongue-in-cheekness to your suggestion, because otherwise I would just sit here and call you a fool right now.
He would.
You know how hard it is to win MVP in the NBA? You know how hard it is to even come top five in MVP voting in the NBA? I love Zach LaVine. Dave loves Zach LaVine. I think he can get his second All-Star nod this season. That in itself is a remarkable accomplishment. And if Zach gets his second All-Star, be proud of him for that. MVP. I'm sorry, should I roll my eyes again?
Yeah, he did. Well, what if we think of it on this level, Matt? Like, we see it, like we saw the season that Joakim Noah had, and when he won Defensive Player of the Year, and I believe he finished fourth, if I'm not mistaken, MVP voting or something like that. So what if, you know, Zach could flirt with that kind of season? Can he kind of flirt with that? Maybe being in the top four, maybe top five of MVP voting, if everything just amazingly goes right?
Yeah, I struggle to see the comparison there, because that season, Joakim Noah went from being one of the best interior defenders and all-around defenders in the NBA to literally the best interior defender and all-around defenders in the NBA. And he's got the trophy to back that up.
He does.
Simultaneously took over and ran the Bulls offense. He ran the Bulls offense from a point center position, upped his assist numbers. He had the most efficient scoring season of his career. He was doing his and right baby hooks. He was hitting the tornado, whirling dervish pull-up mid-range jump shot from the elbows. He was doing it all. And was the best defensive player of the season. That's how Joakim snuck into a top four finish for MVP. Yeah. I don't see Zach LaVine raising his status to, I'm one of the best defensive players in the league, while also running the team on the offensive end. We're talking about his usage going down, not up. And yes, the wins might come up, and the wins coming up will get him the all-star votes. The wins coming up will draw more praise and attention Zach's direction. But MVP? I mean, you got to talk about the Bulls going from 11th position in the East finish last year to like legitimately pushing for a top two seed. For Zach to get that kind of MVP attention, I think that's what you need. And do we think that the Bulls are realistically going to push Brooklyn and or Milwaukee for one of those two spots? Because I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't see that either. And you're right. I'm glad I brought up Joakim Noah because I love watching you talk about Joakim Noah. That's just awesome. It makes my heart just happy just seeing that joy on your face. And he's right. And even with what Matt said that Joakim Noah did, it still wasn't even in the thought of anybody that he would win MVP. And it still was shocking that he finished fourth. It still was surprising. Like, he finished fourth? Oh my God, that's incredible. So even with all that said, he still was like, whoa, he did what? So
yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be difficult for Zach LaVine to do that. I would love to see it. Absolutely. Matt would love to see it. Absolutely. I would love to be wrong about all of this. This would be great. MVP Zach LaVine. Hell yes, I'm with it. But looking at the landscape of just what the East is, man, and the East is going to be super tough this season. More so than in recent memory, the East has been better. So, yeah, I don't expect him to be in that conversation for MVP. But we'll see how happens, man. We'll see what goes down. Because even with guys like Jimmy Butler, when people would try to throw his name in the MVP conversation, he wasn't finishing higher than 11th. Like in the seasons he was having, even when he took him to the finals and stuff, like he still was like, you know, 10th, 11th. Like it's very, very difficult. It's extremely hard. And we must remember there's a whole nother conference over there too, with a bunch of incredible ball players. You know what I'm saying? That we haven't even touched on or mentioned yet. So yeah, man, it's going to be tough, bro. So I'm just like, I feel you. Let's enjoy the season and let's just be happy with this Bulls joy that we got.
Reigning MVP, Nikola Jokic, Steph Curry, and the Warriors trying to make a comeback. And Steph Curry played like his MVP self last season. Luka. Remember that dude named Luka down in Dallas? What's his name? LeBron James.
he's still around. And
I tell you who I think my front runner is right now, Big Dave.
Okay.
I don't care about Kyrie Irving, and I don't care about James Harden, and I don't care about the whole, like, well, they'll steal votes from each other thing in a way that maybe LeBron and Anthony Davis have in the Lakers, you know, in the last. Kevin Durant, in my opinion, last season proved after an Achilles rupture, that he came back from that and is the best player in this league. I know you and I and our pal John have had conversations about that. You know, is it Giannis? Yeah, yeah. Is it the best player on the team that just won the title?
Yeah.
Or is it, I'm sorry, Kevin Durant's the best player in the NBA. He just is. And if that Brooklyn team gets the one seed and you got to deal with Kyrie taking his days off, Harden taking his days off, and KD goes out there and balls all season long, that's the MVP front runner to me. Where is Zach LaVine on that list? I don't know. Somewhere in the late teens, early 20s.
See, again, this is why I'm glad I went first, because this one, because Matt was trying. He was struggling, but I had his back. I had my boy's back. I got yours too, man. Thanks for sending that question.
I love the optimism, though. I love the optimism.
Yeah, I do. I love it, man. I love it.
All right, we're going to finish up on this. Tyler from Florida texts in saying, if Patrick Williams takes a large step forward this season and actually becomes the Bulls' number two or number three option offensively, how good do you think this team would be? That's a fascinating question, Dave. I don't think anybody right now is anticipating Patrick Williams being the second or third option offensively this season. I certainly don't think so.
I don't. It hasn't even crossed my mind, to be real with you. of him being the second or third. I've always had him just not even penciled in, but pinned in as the fourth option as far as offense is concerned. And honestly, it's an erasable pin because Lonzo can easily slide in that. You know what I'm saying? But I already had him there. And because I was thinking of this season, I'm sure you are too, Matt, of thinking of this season as more growth for Patrick Williams, more growing into the person that we think he is and more getting comfortable with that guy. That's kind of how I look at it this season for him. But to get to your question, I mean, if he becomes the second or third best option on this team, wow. Yo, man, if he becomes what I think he is already and becomes second or third on this team is stupid good. I'll say it like that. This team is stupid good if he becomes that basketball player. They are ridiculously good. If you're saying you're a better option scoring than Vooch, or and I can argue you're a better option scoring than DeMar DeRozan, damn. Like, yo, yeah, all over the walls, man. Like, yo, all over everywhere. Mike, it's a crime scene because my brain is just everywhere. Like, if that happens, my God. Like, the Bulls are just viciously good, and my level of Bulls love and arrogance will be through the roof. You think Daniel Gafford love for me is bad? Jeez. Wait till you see the team I love do that. My God. Right. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it.
Look, so the way I look at it with Patrick Williams and his offensive progression, I'm with you. Look, is he somehow going to be a more productive player offensively than Vooch and or DeMar DeRozan, two multi-time all-stars that you made big moves to get? No.
That's completely
insane to think that. It's completely insane. However, I'm zooming out for a minute here, Big Dave, and stick with me. As far as what the Bulls see in Patrick Williams, which, again, remember, the first big decision that the new front office made was, we want that kid. Florida State, number 4 overall pick, he's ours.
Yeah.
Patrick Williams is part of the young crew of Bulls as far as what they have right now in the new look of what this new regime has created. Patrick Williams, Kobe White, Lonzo Ball, they're all kind of in that same package of similar ages and on a similar trajectory of Bulls' immediate plans and Bulls' long-term plans. Zach LaVine bridges that younger group and the Vooch and DeMar veteran all-stars who are on the wrong side of 30 but still in their prime and are going to get you back to respectability and, dare I say, competition now. So those are the three groups. It's Zach LaVine, the older guys helping him now, and the younger guys coming up, right? If and when Vooch and DeRozan move on and Zach LaVine is still the face of this franchise, I see the young Kawhi Spurs with the aging Timmy Duncan, the aging Tony Parker, the aging Manu Ginobili, and that, you know, they all had their last fling together, knocking off the Heatles in 2014, winning the last chip for those boys, and then it became Kawhi's team. Yes. I see that is sort of a long-term possible plan in the eyes of AK and Eversley when it comes to Patrick Williams. So that in a couple of years, 2-3 years, he has, by the way, in 2 or 3 years, Patrick Williams will still only be 22 or 23 years old. Let's all remember that for a hot second. He will have the ability to say, okay, Kawhi, you've been our defensive ace for the beginning of your young career, and you've showed us bits and pieces of what you can do offensively. Now, you are Zach LaVine's Robin. You are Zach LaVine's Robin. You are the number 2 option offensively every night. Go get it. That, I think, is the big picture of what the Bulls plan to do with Patrick Williams. Defensive ace. Yeah. Work on your offensive game when you can. And when the Vooch DeRozan years end, boom. He slides right in, and he is Zach LaVine's riding partner, man.
And, I mean, even more – that's a great point. And even more to the point you just made, Matt, the contracts, the length of the contracts that have been signed by Vooch and DeMar DeRozan. What DeRozan's, what, 3 years? $85 million?
Yeah.
And I believe Vooch has, what, 1 year left?
Vooch has this season and the following season. Yeah.
Yeah, perfectly. Like Matt said, when that 3 years, oh my God, 22 years old? That dude is that dude? Yeah. They're setting that. Matt is completely correct. They are setting it up to see, to set it up for him to be that dude in about another, you know, couple years. That now partner, like he said, the Robin to Zach LaVine's Batman. Absolutely right. It's set up that way. But in the meantime, he's learning how to win. He's learning how to play within a team that has, you know what I'm saying, really good players, and he's learning from them, all of that. So enjoy the progression is what I'm saying. Like, enjoy this journey that we're watching this dude go on, man, because if he becomes what AK and Eversley think he's going to be and what Matt and I think he's going to be, dude, this Bulls team is going to be formidable for a few seasons, ladies and gentlemen. So just enjoy the journey. It's just enjoy watching this growth on this guy, man. And let's just enjoy this season that's about to start real soon. We're 13 days away from some preseason ball, man. I don't know how to act. Oh, my God, man. It's so great about these conversations because they're not insane to me anymore. They're not just completely just crazy. You know, Zach LaVine MVP conversation. Patrick Williams becoming the second best player on your team. I would have laughed you out of the building last year if you even brought that to me. What are you talking about, dog? Are you serious? You wouldn't have got the sunshine and rainbows and be like, well, maybe. Like, you wouldn't have got none of that, like, at all, dog. But now I can look at this and just be like, okay, I can look at it optimistically now. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe it. I think it's crazy. But I can look at it optimistically now and have a little – and play with it and have some fun with it because I got an idea of what this team might be and what they could be, man. So let's just start. I'm ready, man. Oh, I'm so ready. This is good. This is good.
I love that. I love that. Hearing all these Bulls fans' thoughts about, like, you know, could Zach LaVine be MVP or part of the conversation? You know, how soon could Patrick Williams be our second or third offensive option? These are fun questions, man. These are such fun questions. And look, you came on board in what, late June, early July this summer?
Late June, early July.
Right,
yeah.
Right before all this stuff happened. When Jordan and I were doing mailbag episodes for 3.5 years before that. Mm-hmm. Those questions were so depressing and like on average depressing, and not because that's, you know, Bulls fans just all like downer. No, because the current reality was depressing, and any Bulls fans who texted in or called in or whatever and tried to tell us, well, hey, I've got this great optimism for the 2019-20 season or the 2018-19, we would sit here and say, you're crazy. Yeah. This team sucks, and they're going to suck some more. And that was not fun. This is a way more fun version of doing mailbag content.
Man, you're so right. Like, it was depressing. Like, it was sad. Like, I got tired of yelling. Like, it got upsetting. Like, my God, man. But it's over now. New days are here. Happy days, guys. We're a few weeks away from some preseason basketball. Yes, woosah, man. Monday is coming. Media day is coming. Like, yeah, can't wait to see all this stuff, man. Can't wait to see it. Thank y'all, man, for sending these texts.
It's going to be fun. Thanks for texting in, for emailing in, for being a part of the conversation here on Locked On Bulls. We do have a few fresh voicemails. Once again, we'll try to get to those. Maybe for a Friday episode or to kick off next week. As Big Dave said, media day on Monday. So we will be here throughout next week to react to anything and everything we hear from Bulls media day, from all of the major players in this Bulls upcoming 21-22 season. Until then, you can follow us on the social medias. I am at Bulls_Peck on Twitter. Big Dave is at Bal, B-A-W-L Sports. We are at Locked On Bulls. Subscribe to us on YouTube if you aren't already. Until next time, from our partner C. Dave, Matt saying thanks for listening. See you, Red. Be good.